Okay, I would like to acknowledge our two collaborators, Dr. Merle Anders from the University of Arkansas Fayetteville, and Dr. Bruce Lindquist. I hope he's here in the audience. There he is. Dr. Bruce Lindquist from the UC Davis. Just to give you a background information on why there are so many studies on greenhouse gas emissions from rice, paddy rice systems, agriculture, according to IPCC new report, contributes about 14% of the total global warming potential to changing the climate or climate variability. And within the agricultural sector, you can see here that rice cultivation contributed about 11% of the total methane and nitrous oxide emissions. That is because majority of the greenhouse gas coming from rice paddies is in the form of methane gas. And if you look at the pie chart, you could see that rice cultivation is a single sector activity compared to the other activities that contributes to the significant increase of non-CO2 gases. Now, a new study published at PNAS indicated that rice cultivation is also a natural climate solution that would mitigate the total global warming potential in the stratosphere by just changing the water management. So in all of the natural pathways indicated here, there is a very important information about how to mitigate rice cultivation in the in agricultural sector. Now, just to give you an idea, what are the sources of methane from paddy field? You can see here that the major process for methane production is called methanogenesis. So that is reduction of acetic acid to methane and CO2 gas. Methane is also being taken up from paddy rice, and that is through the process of methane oxidation in the rooting system of the rice plant. The major source or process that produces methane is in the acetotrophic or methanogenesis in this portion. And the reason why there's a lot of methane coming from rice plant, flooded rice plant, is because the rice itself is very unique. It has parenchyma cells that serves as a pathway to release methane gas from the reduced layer to the atmosphere. Now, if you add fertilizer to the rice system, it is likely that you would produce a lot of biomass. A lot of biomass, that means a lot of straw, a lot of carbon substrates, and increase your net methane emissions. Nitrous oxide is also being produced from flooded rice systems. Imagine during the growing seasons, we have flooded, so reduced condition. However, during the dry down period, you have denitrification and nitrification process occurring at the same time. Also, in the mid-season, if farmers applied dry condition or dry cycle, there is also a chance that nitrous oxide is being produced. Now, if you add fertilizer to this system, especially during the mid-season drain, it is likely that you would produce nitrous oxide gases. Now, we've heard a lot of studies or strategies to reduce nitrous oxide and even methane emissions from crop field. And in rice paddies, there are many mitigation options that you can use to be able to produce this mitigate these greenhouse gases. First, the forms of nitrogen. We heard a while ago that if you change the forms of nitrogen, you will decrease nitrous oxide emission. But what about methane emissions? So in the past, ammonium sulfate is also one strategy to reduce methane emission. Polymer-coated urea with urease inhibitor also reduce methane emission and nitrous oxide emissions, or specifically the Agridane commercial product. Placement of nitrogen fertilizer also reduce the rate of methane and nitrous oxide emissions. Time of end application also has the potential to reduce emission. Water management is also a big portion of that mitigation strategy. Rice selection is also another option. Now, in this study, I will be focusing merely on the forms, the timing, the placement of application, and the amount of fertilizer in. What would happen if we implemented this type of strategies in a flooded rice system? So the objectives of this study were first to quantify the two non-CO2 greenhouse gases under different N fertilizer management systems, to quantify grain yield under those N fertilizer practices, and to identify what is the best or efficient fertilizer management strategy that would both sustain the yield and at the same time reduce both methane and nitrous oxide emissions. Now, I just give you a very brief summary of the treatments we imposed in this field study. So we have three sites in Arkansas, University of Arkansas Rice Research Extension Center, and two commercial rice growers in North Sacramento Valley in California. I just would like to make it a point that I have this, my site code treatment. So the 168 is the N rate for that particular location in Arkansas. The letter U indicates urea, type of fertilizer, surface applied. Third N treatment is N168A, which is agrotain, and a urease inhibitor applied on the surface. And then 168 nitrogen, kilograms nitrogen per hectare with a split application using a urea fertilizer. For California, in Arkansas, we use a hybrid CLXL745 for our rice variety. For California one site, we use a fancy variety Koshihikari. This is the rate, the same letters, U and double application of fertilizer urea. In California two, the same Koshihikari for the second year. We have the same rate and the same application, but this time we added the agrotain as our another end treatment strategy. For the California 3, the third site, this is in a wet-seeded rice system. We increased the end rate, which is 140 kilograms nitrogen per hectare. And again, a different rice variety, M206, which is a medium grain variety and high-yielding variety for this state. We use an aqua ammonium hydroxide. It's a liquid form, and we injected it into the soil. The third nitrogen treatment is a combination of aqua ammonia and urea fertilizers, and this is subsurface and surface applied. Last one, the California fourth site, we have the same rice variety. It's the same field, and this time we added the ammonium sulfate as another end treatment strategy. All of this were conducted in the field. Okay, how do we measure methane and nitrous oxide emission or flux rate? So we use the static vented flux chamber. The diameter is 30.5 centimeter. We did a daily to weekly to monthly sampling during the non-growing season. We also vary the chamber height to accommodate the plant. So we measure the gas emissions inside. The rice plant is inside the chamber because majority of the methane coming from the flooded field passed through the rice plant. And then to measure methane and nitrous oxide, we use the GC equipped with the ECT and FIT detectors. Okay, for the results, you're looking at the yield data. So the y-axis is the grain yield in megagrams per hectare. The x-axis is the treatment, so I have here the same code that I indicated before. You can see here that if we compare the untreated fields to the control, we did see a significant increase in the yield. It's about more than 100% increase when there is a nitrogen application. However, the forms, the type, the placement, we did not see any significant differences. For the California site 4, there are some differences, but still it's highly variable if we look at the average of the 2 years. Now, if we put it on top of that, the fertilizer use efficiency, how much gram of fertilizer nitrogen was being translated into a kilogram of grain yield, you could see that all the N forms, placements, N strategies that we tested, there was no significant differences. The dip here in site 2 was just because we had a lodging during that year. The Koshihikari variety is a very tall plant, so if you have a slight increase in N rate, chances are there's a potential for ledging because of the heavy grain, more nitrogen in the grain than in the biomass. How do I go back? All right. Now, looking at the daily methane emissions, again, this is the date of sampling, methane emissions in gram carbon per hectare per day. The shaded part, I don't know if you could see it. These are the days where we had flooded conditions. So just to give you an idea how it looks like, the profiles of methane emissions, at the beginning we didn't see much of the methane coming out because this is a background emission, but we did see an increase and then a big flash at the end. That is because of the physical release of methane, and then there's not much during the non-growing season. For nitrous oxide, we did see also a significant increase during the growing season, but during the non-flooded season, there's a significant peak. Now, for the total cumulative methane emissions, you can see here for the five sites, there's very wide range of total methane emissions. So from 9.27 to 199, nitrous oxide was also a little bit variable, but the majority of greenhouse gas came from the methane emissions. Now, in terms of differences in methane emissions, we did not see much differences, but in Arkansas, you could see that the double or split application did decrease the methane emissions, but it did not do anything at all for the total nitrous oxide emissions. Looking at the yield scale, again, we did not see any differences in the California site in terms of yield scale, global warming potential. But for the Arkansas, if you look at the global warming potential per area, there was a decrease in GWP value. But if we look at the end treatment strategy, the urea agritane did not do well in terms of reducing GWP values. In summary, additional fertilizer increased grain yield by more than 100%. The optimal end rates, grain yields, and nitrogen use or fertilizer use efficiencies were not different among fertilizer and treatments. And the California sites combined the forms and frequency or placement of fertilizer material had similar methane and nitrous oxide emissions. And addition of any forms of N fertilizer increased annual GWP emissions by about 2%, two times relative to the unfertilized treatment. And finally, because of this variability in our data, we need to do a lot of testing in terms of nitrogen fertilizer strategy if we would like to use that as a mitigation option to reduce GWP values in flooded fields. And for that, I'd like to thank our funding agencies, the California Rice Research Board and Mars Incorporated, and also with these people who help us to do gas sampling in the field. Without them, I don't have this data to present today. Thank you very much for your attention.